This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. Hurricane Dorian made landfall over Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, Friday morning after weakening into a Category 1 storm and generating tornadoes, severe storm surges, and flooding in coastal areas in North and South Carolina. After landfall, Dorian began moving out into the Atlantic Ocean and continued its trek up the U.S. eastern seaboard. The National Hurricane Center said this on Friday. The storm had devastated much of the Bahamas days earlier. Meanwhile, the saga continues over President Trump saying this week that Alabama was in the path of the hurricane, with a federal agency now reversing its earlier opinion on the storm. AP correspondent Jackie Quinn explains.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, the parent to the National Weather Service, has issued a statement that President Trump was correct when he said that he was given information that Hurricane Dorian could impact Alabama. Sunday, Trump tweeted that the state would be hit hard, so the National Weather Service in Birmingham corrected him on Twitter, saying that Alabama would not see any impact. The president spent the week insisting he's right, including presenting a hurricane forecast map that appeared altered and answering reporters' questions Wednesday.
The original path that most people thought it was going to be taking, as you know, was right through Florida, where on the right would have been Georgia, Alabama, etc.
And that map that you showed today looked like it almost had like a Sharpie.
NOAA on Sunday said the current forecast did not include Alabama, but now it's reversed that statement. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Despite Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam's announcement that her government will formally withdraw a controversial extradition bill that sparked protests there, protesters are calling for yet another round of protests on Saturday. As a result, Hong Kong officials are limiting transportation services to the airport to try to prevent any demonstrations from taking place there this weekend. This is VOA News. Officials said Friday Taliban militants conducted an overnight attack on the western Afghan city of Farah. There was no immediate word about casualties. The U.S. chief negotiator, Zalmay Khalilzad, told an Afghan television station on Monday that his team of negotiators has drawn up a draft agreement that, if approved by President Trump, would allow 5,000 American troops to leave five military bases in the country within 135 days. Ukrainian security officials have launched an investigation into subversive activities by one of the Eastern European country's defense contractors over plans to supply military hardware to neighboring Russia. Ukraine's main government agency for counterintelligence and counterterrorism, the SBU, confirmed this on Thursday. Britain's House of Lords has approved the key bill designed to prevent the country leaving the EU next month without a divorce agreement. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma.
Parliament's unelected upper chamber has voted for the bill, which has already been passed by the elected House of Commons. The law, backed by opposition lawmakers and conservative rebels, compels Prime Minister Boris Johnson to ask the EU to postpone Brexit if no divorce agreement is in place by October 19. It will become law within days once it gets the formality of royal assent. Johnson has maintained Britain must leave the bloc on the currently scheduled date of October 31, even if there is no deal. Charles de Ledesma, London.
A Nigerian entrepreneur has become one of the victims of the latest spate of xenophobic attacks in South Africa, when his car dealership was burned down earlier this week. More from Reuters' Lucy Fielder.
Nigerian entrepreneur Basil Onowigbu stands among the charred ruins that once formed his car dealership. He's one of the foreign nationals who in recent days has seen their thriving businesses reduced to ashes. After xenophobic violence saw shops looted, tyres burned and roads blocked in South Africa's Johannesburg. His business was his lifeline. He now has no way to support his family. Police are unable to say what has triggered the attacks, but high unemployment, widespread poverty, and income disparities have all been blamed.
That is Reuters' Lucy Fielder reporting. The announcement of John Lansing's resignation as CEO of the U.S. Agency for Global Media is renewing questions about the mission and direction of the broadcasters it oversees. The USAGM directly manages five international news entities, including Radio Free Asia, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and, of course, the Voice of America combined. The USAGM broadcasters transmit in 61 languages and have had an unduplicated weekly audience of 345 million people. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.